The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us today. I know it's a little dreary day. Not a great day for running, but wishing all of the... Actually, I don't even know. Maybe it is. I'm not a runner. Maybe runners like a little bit of rain to keep them cooled down.
Generally, overcast days are better for running, is what I've heard. But I don't know about rain.
Well, good luck either way. And we're going to talk to Howie about the 10-year anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombings when he joins us around 2:45. Something I wanted to say here is I keep seeing these headlines, these chyrons, these stories about teens are just out of control. We just talked about how there's been 4 days of violence in Chicago with teenagers who I guess they organize on social media, and they showed up in Chicago and they're dancing on vehicles and they're breaking into cop cars and all of this craziness. And then I just read that there's a New Jersey mall that's implementing a chaperone policy for minors because they're wreaking so much havoc. Just read about a gas station in Compton that was broken into by teenagers. And this morning, these are all separate stories, by the way, but this morning I read about Chick-fil-A doing the same thing. That Chick-fil-A just can't handle these young people who are clearly angry and aggressive showing up and causing trouble. So now you have to be, and I can't remember which Chick-fil-A it was, but you have to be, I think, 16 years or older to go into the Chick-fil-A. Now, as someone who was a bit of a nerd as a teenager, some people even referred to me as a narc, I would be perturbed by this. If my Chick-fil-A access was denied because of bad apples, I would take that very personally. And actually, I went into a Chick-fil-A recently. I went through the drive-thru, and the drive-thru is incredibly efficient. Like, I've never seen a drive-thru like that. And I go through, I get my chicken sandwich. I don't go there a lot, though. I'm not a Chick-fil-A enthusiast. I like the food, but I don't go there all the time. I didn't realize you have to request the sauce. If you don't request the sauce, you are bleep out of luck. So then I pulled over to eat my sandwich and maybe use the Wi-Fi, as people do when you're going to McDonald's, Chick-fil-A. And I realized I didn't have sauce, so I decided to go into the Chick-fil-A to get it. And I was so pleasantly surprised. It was a real, I mean, it was a gathering space, Jared. It was a Saturday afternoon. There were families there. They had a giant cow that was walking around with the Eat More Chicken on it. There were birthday parties. It was such a fun place for all of these people.
And I know why the liberals hate it.
And now I'm finding out that these teenagers are showing up and ruining it for everybody. And I don't like it. And of course, I mean, the real serious story here is what's happening in Chicago, which the new mayor is telling us, you know, we don't want to demonize the youth. I don't want to
demonize the youth that are doing this.
I don't want to demonize anybody, but can we punish people who are doing things wrong? Can there be any sort of accountability or responsibility? Or are we just supposed to all turn a blind eye and watch cars get destroyed and gas stations get broken into? Absolutely ridiculous. All right. Now, as we're talking about crime in the United States, a real hotbed for crime has been the Big Apple. And especially since District Attorney Alvin Bragg has implemented a lot of bail reform laws and policies that are allowing criminals to commit crimes, get let out of jail, commit crimes again, maybe get out for a snack, come back before dinner, and over and over and over. It's really a revolving door for criminals. And what the GOP decided to do, since Alvin Bragg is using his position to politicize a fight against Donald Trump, House Republicans decided, okay, well, let's bring in people who have a story to tell that offers a different depiction of what's going on in New York City. Because Alvin Bragg told us last week, or maybe the week before, we are not going to normalize serious criminal conduct. Now, apparently, his bar for what meets serious criminal conduct is a hush money case from 2016 that I think is past the statute of limitations involving Stormy Daniels. That gets Alvin Bragg very concerned. People being pushed into the subway, people burning down giant Christmas trees, people stabbing one another. He tends to brush that off. So the GOP brought in people to share their stories. I wanted to go to Jose Alba, who was the bodega clerk, former bodega clerk, and he was involved in his own horrific ordeal. He had his lawyer speaking on his behalf. This is the cut where his lawyer runs through what happened to his client. This is cut 21.
On July 1st, 2022, I went to work at the bodega, just like any other day. I took pride in the hard work I put in every day at the store to earn my own money and support myself and my family. That is when I encountered a true and real threat to my life. After I simply told a woman that she could not have potato chips because her payment was declined, I was face to face with her boyfriend, who seemed ready to kill me. He attacked me violently, threw me around the store. The woman stabbed me herself. I truly believe they were there to kill me. So faced with this, I did what I knew I had to do to save my life. What the law allows me to do to save my life. I stabbed that man in self-defense. But when the police came, even though I was injured myself, I was placed under arrest. I was taken to jail.
You know what's nuts, too, is when you really think about it, in our society, we have all of these protected classes. You know, we have all these safe spaces. And if someone says something that offends you, you know, it's or triggers you, and you get trauma from it, from words, you know, we're told a lot that this rhetoric, something hurts your feelings or doesn't align with your belief system, then it really causes trauma. And what I find interesting is these stories of people being physically and violently thrown around a store or stabbed or punched, they don't elicit the same kind of sympathy or same kind of concern from the media or from the radical left. And it's like once a week I reference the Chris Rock special, but there was a lot of it that really stuck out and was really relevant to right now. And he said, anyone who tells you words hurt has never been punched in the face. And that's all I can think of when I hear these stories, because I am and I'm going to knock on wood here, that nothing like this has ever happened to me. But I have to imagine that the impact that has after the fact, like even you might read a headline and go, oh, he survived. You know, the bodega, the guy, he survived. He's okay. But what about, we're all so concerned with mental health. What about the impact this has on him for the rest of his life? Do you think it's something minor to him? Do you think that, you know, he sleeps well at night? Do you think that he thinks about it a lot? You think it affects his relationship with other people? And that just doesn't even rise to meet anybody's priority in our current culture. Let's play another cut here. I want to go to Madeline Brame. She's testifying about how Bragg changed the charges against the gang that murdered her son. This is cut 24.
Alvin Bragg came into office. He was handed a strong trial-ready murder case and gang assault case against all four of these individuals, where this brutal, savage homicide was captured on video. He was handed a strong trial-ready case, ready to go to trial. As soon as he took office, the case immediately began to unravel. He dismissed, completely dismissed, gang assault and murder indictments against two of the defendants clearly on video participating in the brutal, savage slaughter of my son. Mary Saunders, the sister involved in the homicide. He dismissed her indictment and recharged her with assault with a shoe and sentenced her to 1 year time served. Travis Stewart dismissed his gang assault and murder indictment and sentenced him to attempted gang assault. And he pled guilty and sentenced him to 7 years. Travis will be out in the next 18 months. Mary Saunders, the savage, is currently walking the streets of Harlem like she didn't just participate in the brutal slaughter of another human being.
And yeah, let's think about this for a second, okay? Because then, shortly after all of these people testify, Adam Schiff wants to get up and lecture the same group of people that, oh, this is all just a performance from the GOP. The gall you have to be around parents whose children were murdered and still sit there and go, this is a dog and pony show all about Donald Trump. You have to really be a soulless ghoul to be in that room with those people who are pouring out their hearts about the worst thing that's ever happened to them and tell them that, oh no, by the way, the group of people that brought you in here to share your stories that nobody else cares about, they're actually the bad guys. They're the ones making this political. You've got to have some courage, though, to go in front of those people. And then for the media to write up that the one person who responded back to Adam Schiff out of pure rage was heckling him. I don't think that's an accurate way to describe it. I think he was speaking truth to power to Adam Schiff and basically saying, how dare you? How dare you come in here, listen to all of this pain and all of this hurt, and then try to flip it on the only people who were willing to listen to these victims. That's a whole new level of evil, really. 844-500-4242. We'll play more cuts of this. This is excellent sound. And I applaud all those people for sharing their stories, because they're all heart-wrenching in their own ways. I wanted to tell everybody out there, I know it's a dreary day today. It's a dreary Monday. But this weekend was gorgeous. We're going to get a lot of beautiful weather coming our way. And that means it's the perfect time to rev up the grill. And Jared, I know you're a hot dog guy, okay? I know your loyalty lies with the dog. But let's not undercount or undervalue the beauty of the burger.
Especially these new burgers, because this is burgering on a whole new level.
It really is. These are the Pure Ground Burgers from Omaha Steaks. They're made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. So they're steaks on a bun. Now, Jared, when we get these, it's filet mignon, it's ribeye, it's New York strip, sirloin, even brisket burgers. Which one are you fighting the rest of the Howie Carr Radio Network staff to get first?
Howie has claimed the brisket burger, so I am going to go after the Delmonico sirloin burger.
Okay.
That's where I'm headed.
Very good. I was going to say, good luck fighting Howie for any of those.
Oh,
because he's going to beat you. He's going to beat you.
Big dog
sure.
Eats first. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, now is the time to experience the exclusive burger perfection flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com. Don't forget to use promo code GRACE at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order, plus free shipping. So what are you getting?
Actually, at that price, I'm just going to get my own, and I won't have to share with Howie.
Yeah, you don't want to fight Howie for the brisket burger. You want to get your own brisket burgers. And what are you getting, though, Jared, when you go to the website? You might be thinking, oh, $79.99, I'm going to use promo code GRACE, I'm going to get free shipping, I'm going to get $20 off, but what's in the package? Well, you're going to get four of each Pure Ground burger, so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness these burgers have to offer. They're crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, and you don't want to wait. You want to go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code GRACE at checkout, get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight, and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required. We will be right back with more of these sound cuts. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111, or you can go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is which issue causes the biggest problem for the GOP in elections? Trump, gun control, abortion, election integrity, or messaging?
I'm going to say messaging, because any of those issues you could explain better or you could work around if you were better at messaging and communicating with voters. And I just think Democrats have us beat on that. So I'm going to say messaging.
Messaging currently at 14%, 38% for election integrity, still in the lead, 30% for abortion, 15% for Trump, and 3% for gun control.
You know, and as we're talking about messaging, we talked a little bit about this earlier, but it's worth reminding people that Budweiser actually came out with a CYA ad over the weekend featuring the Clydesdale horses and trying to get back to that, you know, Americana, old school, traditional sense that they had before the Dylan Mulvaney disaster that occurred just a couple weeks ago. Now, and they lost, I think, billions of dollars in market cap because of that. My stance on it is take apart or take out the Dylan Mulvaney aspect, take out all this. I just don't think it's fair to bring the horses in only when you need them. You know, to me, I hate this song. And you know I hate this song. You know why? If you're out there, turn this up a little bit. If you hear this and your mind doesn't go right to Silence of the Lambs and that man, Buffalo Bill, filming himself dancing in some sort of kimono robe type thing, then consider yourself lucky.
That's an Easter egg for the fans.
It's the scariest. When she goes to the door, when Jodie Foster goes to the door and she doesn't realize that she's meeting Buffalo Bill. This is a spoiler, by the way. The movie's like 30 years old, so maybe you should have got on it. But she goes to the door and she says, have you seen, do you know this woman, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, was that that great big fat lady? Chills up my spine. One of the scariest movies ever. And how about when she's in the basement and she finally sees the girl and she says to her, I'll be right back. Hold on. And the girl goes, be right back. What are you talking about? That movie, man. Whew. Whew. Okay. Anyway, let's get back, though, to the sound cuts that we were playing before the break. If you missed it, the GOP is holding judiciary committees and they are giving the victims of crime in New York a platform. They're giving them a chance to share their pain and their trauma with the world, basically. And what's great is that Fox is covering it. A lot of this is going viral on Twitter. And we just played a cut from Madeline Brame, who's talking about the gang that murdered her son. I think when we'll come back, we'll play some other cuts of these victims. But I also want to play Schiff getting heckled, because this is the part of it that really blew my mind. This is cut 28.
Not a coincidence at all. Instead, it is the GOP leadership in Congress doing what it has done best for the last 6 years, and that is to act as the criminal defense counsel for Donald J. Trump. Well, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this.
Capitol Police, General will suspend. Capitol Police.
People are talking about their families being dead.
Capitol Police will remove the gentleman from the audience.
Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this.
Gentlemen.
FBI agents for his apartment to get set on fire.
Let me tell you this.
You guys are politicizing this entire event. You're a scumbag. Every
let me tell you this.
I got you all on video with your face with no attention to
Donald J. Trump.
Who are testifying about their families dying. You guys are scumbags. All of you. Every one of you. Free mouth, quote.
This, what he was saying about, I have you all on video with not paying attention when these people are testifying about their families dying. I can understand where that heckler is coming from, if you even want to call him that. We'll take your calls on the other side. We'll play more of these sound cuts. We have a lot more to get to before the end of the show, so don't go anywhere.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I thank you so much for joining us today. We are still going to play a lot of cuts from the House Judiciary Committee hearings, but first let's go to the calls. Emily, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Emily.
Hey, Grace. Listen, I just wanted to comment. It's funny, I love it when you listen to my husband and my conversations and then talk about it on the air the next day. We were just talking about this actual thing, your poll question, where you're saying what's the biggest issue for the GOP and you believed it was messaging. And I think one of the comments I wanted to make, this has been bothering me for a little while. Sadly, I think something that's happened in the GOP, when Rush Limbaugh passed away, there was this piece of our party that went with him that is speaking to, like, so he was very good at encouraging the base to say, you know, I deal with those who are intelligent. My people who listen to me, they're smart, they get it, they're not fools. Today, when you tune into a lot of these talk radio shows, whatever, not yours, but others, it's like they're just badgering the point of how awful the Democrats are and their policies are awful, but there's no, like, building up and encouraging the base. I mean, it's easy for a Democrat. They appeal to the emotions, and they let the people run with it. The right side has always appealed to the mind and to logic and encouraged that. But I feel like a lot of that went away, sadly, when Rush died, and I would love to see more of it. I think it would help.
Yeah, you know what I think, Emily, is a good way to sum up what you're saying is this obsession with owning the libs. That's what it's called, like owning the libs. Oh, we're going to, you know, dunk on AOC, or we're going to. And listen, I do it too. I do it. You know, it's a 3-hour show, and sometimes a clip comes across your desk. You got to play it. But you're right, because I remember when Rush was alive and things would happen, whether it would be like the latest Trump impeachment or an investigation or whatever. The reason my dad loved to tune in to Rush was not because Rush was going to spend 3 hours making fun of Democrats or making fun of Adam Schiff or anything like that. He was going to offer what he thought was the strategy and how he thought it would play out. And he oftentimes, to Emily's point, actually gave people a lot of hope. He wasn't doom and gloom. He wasn't, you know, oh, this is terrible. We're going to hell in a handbasket. He was very much more, this is what we need to do, or this is, you know, this is the strategy we need to take. And I think people did appreciate that. And I think that what Emily's also referring to here had a lot to do with the midterms, because I was part of the mindset that everything is so bad when Democrats are in charge that people are just going to figure that out. And that's enough. You know, talking about how bad Joe Biden is going to be enough. And the truth is that it's not. You need to have your platform can't be, I'm not Joe Biden. Your platform can't be, look how bad those Democrats are. You have to have a plan. You have to be on the offense. And I don't know if I even want to open up the floodgates here, but Emily was such a good caller that maybe I will. I think that is what kind of appeals to people about DeSantis, is that he does kind of take on these cultural fights, and he picks the right ones, and he tends to know how to win. And I think that appeals to people. I think that's an issue that Trump is going to have to deal with, where he's going to have to, in 2024, show people that he has a plan for how to tackle things and how to accomplish things without reverting back to, I was robbed in 2020, or, you know, I was wronged with this, or I've been investigated this many times. And listen, before you get upset with me, I'm not saying that there's not plenty of truth to those statements. I'm not saying that this man does not have a right to complain about the way that he has been treated. But when you have a group of people who are deciding on who they're going to vote for, they do want a plan. They do want a party that's on the offense and is going to make their lives better. And they want to see how that's going to happen. Thank you for the call, Emily. Really good point. Let's go back here, though, just for a second, and then we'll go back to the lines. I want to play more of these cuts from some of the victims of crime in New York City And this was the House Judiciary Committee hearing involving Alvin Bragg. Alvin Bragg thinks that he's not normalizing serious criminal conduct by charging or indicting Donald Trump with this hush money case from a million years ago that nobody wanted to touch. And yet, when there's plenty of other cases of people committing crimes, you know, over 100 times and being let out right afterwards, Alvin Bragg has zero interest in that. So these victims of these crimes or their family members were discussing this today. And I wanted to go to Joseph Borgen, who was talking about how Bragg released an assailant who beat his son. And then after the release, this criminal went on to beat an old man in a road rage incident. This is Cut 25.
The ongoing struggle with D.A. Bragg. This has been going on for 2 years. They have a film of this in black and white from people on the street and Times Square. It's an open and shut case. And D.A. Bragg is just schlepping his case along with no solution, offering deal after deal. One fella, Wasim Awade, was hitting my son with crutch, was offered a sweetheart deal, didn't take it yet. He was let out on probation. As he's getting out of the court, as he's getting out of jail, the friends are dancing with him on his shoulders. I will do this again. I will do this again. He had no qualms about doing it again, about beating up another Jewish person. And in fact, while he was out on bail, he had an incident with a road rage with an elderly man on the street. Bragg brought him in again, nothing. Just go out and behave yourself. This just emboldened him to act, and he doesn't care. I've been in 3 court hearings, and basically nothing has happened in 3 court hearings here in Lower Manhattan, a couple buildings down. And it's just very disheartening that I sit here today, and nothing is getting done.
Yeah, the part of that that sticks out to me, and that was Joseph Borgen talking about how this criminal was able to beat up his son and then go on to beat up another person. It's the lack of remorse that is really chilling. That should scare everybody. Like a lot of these criminals, and if you can blame it on drugs, you can blame it on just, you know, them being unhinged and unwell. But if you let people out of jail over and over again and they don't have any remorse, and you combine that, the lack of remorse with the lack of any accountability in New York City, you are going to get a crime wave. And that's what we're seeing. And there is a correlation. There is a correlation between letting out people who don't feel bad, who haven't been forced to sit somewhere and think about what they've done, letting them out that afternoon. And actually, this gentleman here, he's the president of the New York City Detectives Endowment Association. Listen to what he had to say. This is Cut 26.
There is a direct correlation from when the bail reform laws were enacted mm-hmm. to day one to the uptick in violent crimes across New York City. Shootings have increased. Gun violence has increased. Illegal guns coming into New York City has increased dramatically. But we talk about the 7 majors, the felony crimes that are affecting people in New York City. But as important as those felony crimes that are violating the people across this city, are many low-level crimes that are not even being addressed that affect the victims for many, many years to come.
You know what I just thought of as well is when you see gun violence, when you see a shooting occur, and you have politicians or just people in general who immediately go to gun control. And I don't want to insult those people. I understand the desire when something happens to want to put something on the books that's going to fix it because people don't like to see these things happening. But if you look at one of these scenarios, okay, and someone's killed by a criminal in New York City, and then you, after the fact, have 2 options of what would have prevented this. And one of the options is another law that hopes to confiscate all of the illegal weapons in the United States of America. There are more guns in America than there are people. But let's go with this mindset that we can confiscate, we can just ban guns and no one's going to have their hands on them. Or the other option is, oh, by the way, this person who killed your loved one, they were actually in custody yesterday, but they were let out. Which of those two, as the victim of this crime, or someone who knows the victim of the crime, do you think realistically could have been implemented? I think most people would say, I don't think another law would have stopped this. And maybe some people would say, yeah, yeah, it would have. It would have. Okay. But I can tell you right now that if something happens and you find out that person could have been kept in prison the day before, then you know for a fact this could have been prevented. And that has to sting people. That has to be like the worst turning of the knife. Is that people are just being let out. It's really, it's a shame because there's so many people who are being hurt in these big cities, and it's not necessary if we would just keep some of these criminals in prison. One other story here that I wanted to hit before we go to the break. Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, she's been kind of quiet lately. She was out there for a little bit with the gas stove situation, and then she just disappeared. But she's being labeled a racist because according to a group, and this group is called Housing Justice for All, that's the strategy session, they're pushing for good cause legislation to limit rent hikes in apartments and back a new housing access voucher program to aid the homeless and tenants facing eviction. Now, according to this group, Kathy Hochul is not on board enough. And so I just wanted to read you some of the quotes, because this just is it's a good microcosm of what happens when you tick off the mob. Like, you can be so woke, you're trying to ban electric gas-powered vehicles, you're trying to ban gas stoves. You know, Kathy Hochul is anti-charter school. She's doing a lot as far as checking off the boxes of the progressive movement. And you make one misstep, and that alligator is going to come, and it's going to eat you. Okay? The alligator's always going to eat you. And so here are some of the quotes. Governor Hochul doesn't like Housing Justice for All because she doesn't want everyone who's included in this program to be included. That includes people who are undocumented, people with felony convictions. We know Governor Hochul is really conservative. Now, listen to this quote, okay? Jared's already laughing. Yeah. You didn't know that. Hochul is conservative, according to Reedy Singh, who is the organization staffer. Okay. We know Governor Hochul is like really conservative and that she really, you know, she's racist. She does not.
Racism, racism.
She does not like immigrants. She does not like people who've been, you know, in jail. So she's like really, really been fighting against it. And another person, Julie Colin, said she, meaning Hochul, hates immigrants and she hates poor people. And that's like demonstrated like through like, you know, how she has like run her career, the things that she has done. I could get into a whole thing about how everyone says like every other word nowadays, but I'm going to hold off. I'll save that for tomorrow. That's your teaser for tomorrow. But I mean, it just shows you, it doesn't matter how woke you are. It doesn't matter how radical you are. The second that you are not 110% behind one of these programs or one of these movements, you might as well be Orange Man, because you are going to be tossed to the side as a racist, as a bigot. Kathy Hochul's learning that the hard way. Robespierre learned it as well. When we come back, we'll be joined by Howie Carr. We're going to talk about the 10th anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing. But before that, I want to let you guys know about Perfect Smiles and Dr. Houghton, because Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is the best in the business. When it comes to dentistry, he is awesome. He takes this so seriously. He's so good at it. But what he really wants you to do is he wants you to feel comfortable. And sometimes for people going to the dentist, it can be very nerve-wracking. People get very anxious. And if you're transforming your smile, which is really what they're known for at Perfect Smiles, you can feel like, oh, this is something I'm just going to put off. I'm just going to wait on this. Don't wait on it. Take care of yourself. You deserve it. It's going to change the way you interact with people. It's going to change your social life. It's going to change your professional life. And you're just going to feel a lot better. And there's no better team to walk you through this important decision than Dr. Houghton and the team at Perfect Smiles. They are the A-team. They know what they're doing. And if you want to see some results that you can count on, go to PerfectSmiles.com. Check out their video testimonials. There's a reason that when you watch these, people's only regret is, I wish I had done this 10 years ago. Or I wish I had done this the first time I heard Howie or Grace talk about it. But I waited and I put it off. And now I'm just so happy I went and I got this done. That could be you, and it should be you. So go to PerfectSmiles.com. They're located in Nashua, New Hampshire, right off Route 3, plenty of parking. Go to PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. When we come back, we're talking to Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere.
Grace Curley is your perfect lunch day.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. As we have noted throughout today, it is the 10th anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombings. I cannot believe it's been 10 years. Joining us now on the line to talk about this is Howie Carr. And Howie, you were really a giant voice when it came to this story, and especially the four-day manhunt that ensued. Tell us, bring us back to that a little bit and just tell us what it was like to be covering this live. A lot of people called in today and they said you were the first person they heard about this from. So just walk us through those first few days.
Yeah, well, you know, there'd been some manhole cover explosions in the back bay. And I think I assumed that's what it was. And it just happened to be at a really bad time. And or someone else said maybe a natural gas leak or something. Took us a while to figure out, just like 9/11, that this was actually a terrorist attack. And then there were all kinds of crazy rumors, you know, about cars being trailed here and there. And, you know, then people were arrested. And it was a real mess. And then, you know, as we began to figure out who it was, I mean, you know, Deval Patrick, the governor, Barack Obama, they didn't want to get into the fact that these were welfare collecting third world Muslim jihadis, and they just totally covered it up, and they continue to cover it up. I mean, I'm just going to make that my poll question. You know, how have you seen them described today? And I think in most cases they're not described at all. You know?
Yeah, well, Howie, I brought that up to you earlier today because I said, you know, not a lot has changed. They're still, and I was honest, you know, when Netflix came out with this documentary, I was surprised that you weren't someone who they'd reach out to. And it's not just because I work with you, but it's because there is a whole part of this story that seems to be getting left out here on purpose.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone is under any illusions about why it's being neglected. You know, it just doesn't fit the narrative. I guess CNN didn't mention it at all. And, you know, and then or it's mentioned in like the, you know, the passive voice, you know, a bomb was planted, an explosion went off. I mean, there's nothing about how the bomb, how the pressure cookers got here. I was going back over the Globe story after I talked to you, the fall of the House of Tsarnaev. And I remember writing at the time, I said it should be the fall of the Section 8 apartment of the Tsarnaevs. You know, and I remember talking to Bill O'Reilly on Friday night after, you know, when they caught him. And I said, you know, the mother was just arrested as a shoplifter. The Globe said she was a very glamorous woman. Yeah, she also had sticky fingers. And Geraldo Rivera is going, that's not true. How do you know that? And I said, hey, Jerry, just trust me on this one, pal.
There's no place you want to be today besides the Howie Carr Show. He's going to go through all of this with you, and he is the expert on the matter, so don't go anywhere.